141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Jamie Murphy's joined up with the Rangers squad in Florida after completing a loan move late on Saturday night. It may well be a case of one in, one out as Carlos Peña nears a move back to Mexico. A bit quieter at Celtic as Brendan Rodgers' side train in the Dubai sunshine, and it was quite the weekend in the Championship as St Mirren's win and Falkirk's battering of Dundee United allowed the Buddies to stretch their lead at the top. And something a bit different for you in the second hour of tonight's show. We're kicking off our grassroots week with a look at schools football, so we want you to get in touch with your thoughts and memories of playing schools football. We're even going to be joined by a school teacher to keep us in line, Derek Johnston and Fraser Wishart. I'm sure you'll have some great stories and memories to share with us when that comes around. But in the meantime, Derek, nice of us to have the opportunity to focus on the Championship at the weekend.
Yeah.
You would expect some happy buddies on the phone tonight, wouldn't you?
Yeah, very much so. They didn't play all that well by all accounts, especially the second half. I think Inverness had a real go, as you would expect. But the thing is, getting 3 points and St Mirren sit at the top, they're 6 points clear of a Dundee United side whose confidence has been shattered after that absolute drubbing by Falkirk. I mean, it's already been beaten. I think managers can accept that. Sometimes the other team plays well and there's nothing you can do about it. But to lose 6 goals to a team that's been struggling, Shabba Laszlo wouldn't have been a happy man. But, for Jack Ross and his team, it's looking good for them. And Dunfermline not very far away from Dundee United in third place now, 7 points behind. And Queen of the South pushing up. So that's looking very interesting at the top of that Championship.
And Fraser, pictures coming in of a Rangers training in Florida and Celtic training in Dubai. I spoke to a Motherwell player today who's there off tomorrow. And what was it, -7 when you had to scrape your car this morning?
I had to scrape all three, my daughter's car as well.
So oh, spoiled.
It was, oh, showing off. See, does the butler know? Do that, or the chauffeur?
I had to sack him, Derek. Hard times. But yes, freezing cold. Do you remember the days, Derek, when Paul Cooney used to run the show? There would be a wee trip to Spain, and
we did a Saturday, didn't we? We did a program live from Spain.
I'm sure Gordon will fight our cause.
Work on it, Gordon. Work on it in the summertime, the better weather.
Very
work
good.
On it.
Unlikely. That's all I'm going to say. You know the number if you want to get in touch, folks. 0141 951 1025. On the phone lines, of course, as always, we're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. I suppose we could still start with the Jamie Murphy situation, folks, because by the time we left on Saturday around 6 o'clock, the move hadn't yet gone through. It eventually gone through, and this is perhaps a snapshot into my social life, gents, that I was very much tucked up in bed by the time this one came through on Saturday night. But nevertheless, it's done. It's not quite the move that some expected it to be a permanent one, Derek. It is now a loan deal to the end of the season. What are your thoughts overall?
You know, there's been a lot of, Rangers fans, online. They're telling me, I'm not online myself, but just friends that go on it, slaughtering the Rangers board again. No, we can't even sign them, blah, blah, blah. I think Rangers fans should be delighted. You've now got Jamie Murphy to the end of the season. That is the bottom line. Whether he signed a 3.5 year deal or they've got him on loan to the end of the season, it doesn't matter. He's there to help them out for the second part of the season. And it looks as if they've already agreed a deal in the summer, for him. So everything's on board. I think the good thing, Fraser, about Jamie is he wanted to be there. He didn't want to go back down the road again. He'd made up his mind as soon as he was on that plane. I want to be at Rangers, and I think that has helped him an awful lot.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if the player wants it and pushes for it, then there's it's a big plus. I think Bristol City were interested in him, which would be a good move for him as well. I mean, it's not ideal. I mean, being honest, Rangers wanted him signed and tied up. Whatever the reasons were, whether it was to do with the down payments, or it was to do with the instalments, whatever Brighton weren't happy with, Brighton are perfectly entitled not to be happy with the issues, and they can dictate how things are paid up. And if it was the case that Rangers didn't want to pay the huge down payment right now and do it in the summertime, then that's probably life. That's the way that football clubs have to operate. So I think Rangers are fortunate in a sense that he does want to play for Rangers, because if he comes to Rangers now and plays on loan and scores a barrel load of goals, there might be more interest from down in England. But they're in the pole position because he loves playing for the club and he wants to play. But there's still a deal that has to be done. They have to find the cash in the summertime and they have to find all that. But Rangers' situation transfer-wise is so complicated because there's so many players. Spent a lot of money last summer, hasn't been a success. Peña, Herrera, we go over all the players at the same time, so that needs to be sorted as well. So a big few months, but they've got him until the end of the season. He'll be an asset. I think he'll score a few goals, and he'll certainly bring a different dimension in terms of pace and direct running to Rangers' team.
Does it bring a different dimension to the pressure for the player himself? Do you think there's now a side of it where he's thinking, well, I now have to earn a permanent move, or is that something that he'll be able to?
No, I think Rangers will want him. I mean, no doubt he will be a success. How big a success is down to him, you know, and the rest of the players around him. But he's certainly got the ability. We all know what he was like 5 years ago when he was playing at Motherwell. I think at that time, I wanted him to go to Rangers at that time because he was such a good player. But he wanted to go down south and test the waters down there. And to be fair to him, he's done very well. You want to say he's been a big success down south. And I think at 27, 28 years of age, he's just reaching his peak. I think Rangers are getting him at a good time. He's still got all of his pace. He still loves running at full backs. He still scores goals. I think he'll be a massive asset. And I think Rangers at this moment in time, I mean, there is one paper that has suggested that it's going to go ahead. They've agreed the deal in the summer, you know, and they're going to be paying them the fee that they wanted in the summer. So it looks as if they're going to have him for the 3.5 years. But up until that, he signs that contract, it's up to Jimmy to do the business between now and then. And I'm in no doubt whatsoever that he will do that.
George is in Rutherglen to kick us off tonight. Hi, George.
All right, gents, how you getting on?
Not bad, you?
Well, the fees, I don't know, the fees are kind of stole my thunder there, to be honest with you.
Not at all, we were just setting it up for you, George, and you can word it in a way that we are not capable of.
Right, okay, well that wouldn't be hard, I'm only kidding. there's 2 points, but I'll make my main point. The Jamie Murphy kind of saga, I think there's a big calibre who I actually think Rangers are in a win-win situation. I see it from a different point of view. You've got a player that's coming in loan, who performs, definitely get a permanent signing because that's agreed in the loan deal. You've got first refusal as long as we meet the matching price. But if the player comes and he doesn't perform and he's not what we're looking for, then we're no fault to £1.5-2 million on a player that's it's not capable of playing for Glasgow Rangers. So I actually think in a kind of roundabout way it's actually worked out better for Rangers, because sometimes you can panic buy in January and I think sometimes you can overspend in January, and we've seen what's happened to other Rangers players that could possibly be going alone, etc. I'm sure you'll pick that up later on in the programme. But I'm actually quite happy.
You make a very good point, George. But as Fraser said, you know, if he plays really well and he's outstanding and he's helped Rangers, you know, to go forward and progress, there might be other clubs out there that want to pay a lot more.
But it doesn't
matter if you've not got that. If you're not going to pay, I mean, some club might come in and say, "We'll give you $2 million for him."
It's no slavery, George, either. So if the player doesn't want to come, then he doesn't have to come.
But
as for saying earlier, George, the big advantage I think Rangers have is that he is a Rangers supporter, and I think wants to come and play. So
I suppose it could work a different way. But if there's a fixed fee being agreed and the player wants to come to Rangers, then I think there's a fair chance of signing for Rangers. Don't get me wrong, if there's somebody going to come in and offer $10,000 more a year, then it is what it is. There's nothing we can do about it. But I'd rather be the situation we're at the moment. And if they're not to work out and we're out of money again, we're out of pocket a lot of money, because Glasgow Rangers, even though, you know, they can afford the £1 million mark or whatever in the summer time, you know, we can't be flinging that money away. We've not got the money to waste £1 million players. Do you know what I mean? So I'm actually at the opposite side of the spectrum. I'm actually happy about it. But I'd be all right to make my second point, because I do realise that obviously quite a lot of people.
Yeah, on you go, George.
I'll probably slag Rangers about Jamie Murphy. I like the possible signing of Murphy or the signing of Murphy, but I'm a bit surprised that, I don't know, it's early days, but at Rangers haven't gone for a striker. I think they're crying out for a striker. We missed the boat. I think we all know who, Big Louis Moult, things like that. I don't know what happened there, but we're in a position to try and get him. I don't know what suit there is a free or a possible loan or even a signing, but Rangers are crying out for another striker. Yeah. Or even the Big Boy Hardy, I don't know, because what we've got there at the moment, apart from Morelos, is not the answer. But we don't know if the boy Hardy is the answer or not. So I'd either get him.
You've got to give him a chance, right. You've got to get
him. I would be thinking about other possibilities. Now, I know Cummins is obviously a possibility, but I think that would be another loan signing also at Rangers on the situation at the moment. I think that's a top priority, Derek.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree with you, George. You're right. But remember, they've still got 3 weeks. You know, to the end of the month. And I'm in no doubt whatsoever. Graham Murphy knows he's a bit short up front of goals of natural strikers. So I would imagine that is in his mind.
Yeah, and have you heard anything at all?
Absolutely nothing. Certainly about centre forwards. No, I haven't.
You look at, you know, Ryan Hardy, Derek, and as George mentioned, perhaps like to see him being a run. And by the way, that it may well turn out to be the case. I just wonder if you look at how long Ryan Hardy's been there and a couple of loan signings, how critical a period is this? Because it's probably going to happen one way or another now.
Well, I think, and I believe his contract's up at the end of the season. You know, so he's going to say to himself, if I'm not going to get a run out here, what's the point? I'm never going to get a game. You know, and it's up to him to try and go somewhere else, you know, and try and earn a living and try and get a game somewhere. But I like him as a player. I mean, the one thing that I've been shouting about this Rangers team is, you know, you've got to give your all. You've got to give 100% in every game. And that's what that kid does for you. He's a big lad that runs about up front. He's tall. He's decent in the air. He likes running at people as well. My only problem with him is he loves going right, playing wide right and hitting balls into the box where I want him to be. I want him to be in the box when the ball comes in. But, you know, but he would soon learn, you know, what to do when he's in the first team. But I think he deserves a chance. And I think there's every chance when Rangers play these two games over in Florida that hopefully he gets at least half a game or a full game or whatever and show Graham Murty exactly what he can do.
George has been quite clear, Fraser. He's actually happy with the way the Jamie Murphy thing's turned out. He mm-hmm. thinks it could benefit going forward. Now, of course, people are on the other side of the fence are going to say, no, this just shows that Rangers don't have the money to buy him right now. So mm-hmm. where do you think the truth in all that lies?
Well, it's difficult to know, Gordon, where the truth lies. But I mean, if the truth is that they haven't got the money, if that is the case, then that's the way football clubs have mm-hmm. to operate. And they have to be clever, and it may be loan signings, maybe players going out before they can bring players in. And if that's the reality of the financial situation, the only things we know is in the public domain is the finances and the accounts, etc. And still, there's kind of relying on directors' loans, etc. So, you know, the club has to be sensible, and I think the fans are beginning to realise it'd be a far more sensible approach in all this. And George is right. You know, Rangers still need two or three players, but they have to be able to balance the books. And that's the reality for all football clubs in Scotland except for Celtic at the moment. You know, there's nobody going out there with absolute fortunes to spend. So, you know, Michael Halloran's coming back and Joe Dodoo's coming back, so at least there's more bodies. Andy Halliday's coming back, whether they'll all actually start. I still think Rangers need a centre back if Alves is going to go, and I think they need more a number 10 than an actual out and out striker. So a couple of players could come in as well, 3 weeks to go. But if that's the reality of the situation, Gordon, then that's what they have to do.
I acknowledge that this is the season of speculation, Fraser. We don't mind that. You're allowed to throw names at us. That's what it's all about at this time of the year. George mentions Jason Cummings, a name that I've seen online. Certainly nothing to suggest at the moment that there's anything particularly in it. But in theory, would that be the type of move or the type of player you think that Rangers could identify at this moment in time?
All things being equal, he'd be a good signing in theory.
He knows the league. He knows everything about it. Yeah, really.
Yeah, and he's kind of just stagnated down there. I don't think he's kicked on the way that he would have hoped. Perhaps maybe just a move was a wee bit too early for him, maybe a wee bit too big. But, you know, for Rangers, if they could sign him on loan, and that might only be a loan signing again if the same issues that affected Brighton affected some of the Notts Forest, but bring him in for 6 months and get him in the team, then absolutely terrific signing. Again, uncertainty over who's going to be the new manager at Notts Forest. New manager might want to come in and have a look at him, might like him, so might not let him go on loan. So there's a lot of uncertainties there. He's a type of player that I think they're looking for is somebody up there to
a natural goal scorer.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke of this on Friday. Morelos got a wee bit of stick from one of the callers, but he's got something there. He's raw, but he's got something there that
he's
can
a
be
battler.
Worked on.
Yeah.
I think they need a wee bit more quality.
And he's a top league scorer in the country.
Yeah, but I mean, he's still got a lot to learn and he's still got a lot to go. But somebody up front who can maybe dictate the play, who can hold the ball in, who can create things, they're all that Pena was bought for.
I'll get George's thoughts on this as well, since he's still on the line. In terms of players coming in, we covered off Jamie Murphy. Well, maybe in the opposite direction, Carlos Pena certainly closing in on a return to Mexico and a reunion with Pedro Caixinha at Cruz Azul. The midfielder was videoed appearing for his medical earlier. A bizarre piece of footage. I'm not sure if you've seen it. Check it out online, where he's holding his Rangers shorts blatantly in his hand, Fraser. He kind of holds them up to his face. Some people seem to think that he wipes his nose with them. It's a bit strange. It's quite hard to tell exactly what his intentions are. But anyway, the bottom line is he appears to be moving away from Rangers, and certainly a story in one of the newspapers this morning suggesting that the Mexican side would cover all of his sizeable wages. Now, if that were to be true,
That's a huge bonus.
That sounds like quite a bonus.
It would be a huge bonus. He's well paid, Carlos Peña. But there's also the issue of the transfer fee as well for Rangers. So it's not going to be an immediate fix. It might just be a short term fix to bring in some of the money. Clearly Graham Murty is not going to play him. So if he's not going to play him, then they're better getting whatever percentage they can of the salary in between now and the summertime. And if it goes well, Mexican football's got a lot of money. It's actually quite a cash rich game. It's a big country. They love their football. They've got a lot of interest from TV stations in America. So there is money there, and that might be an option for Rangers to try and recoup some of their money. But it was a big transfer fee, big wages. He's still got 2.5 years to go, and the lad is perfectly entitled, and so he should, is to sit there until the deal is right for him. So it's good for him. Go back, he plays a bit of football, it might work out at Cruz. If not, he comes back to a fairly lucrative contract to Rangers.
George, I know that some Rangers fans, there are definitely some out there, I've seen them online, who say, well, you know what, Carlos Peña actually scored a couple of important goals, he looks like he could continue to do that, maybe it's a bit too early to get rid of him. Are you one of those, or are you happy to see him on his way out?
If he's not going to play football at Ibrox and they're offering to pay his wages or a substantial sum, then I think it's a no-brainer if the manager doesn't fancy him. What I would say is, what's quite interesting is that there's a club willing to go out there and pay the wages. So this boy must have been some sort of player in his time, because if they're willing to say that it's reported £25,000-£26,000 a week he's on at Ibrox, and they're willing to pay that, then he must have something about him. I just don't think the game in Scotland suits him, and that happens. That happens everywhere in any league in the world. And sometimes playing for the Old Firm or playing for the bigger clubs, players are no used to it. You know, he could be a rare player. He's just in certain countries. You know,
I think you remember as well, George. You know, Pedro Caixinha has seen him play. He's in the same league as he was in, so he knows what he can do. He's thinking to himself, what an asset he would be in Glasgow. He's a box-to-box player, likes to get on the ball, likes to dictate play. I never seen any of that. Scored a couple of great goals, I have to say, some good headers and whatnot. But there was no consistency about him. He looked heavy. He wasn't quick. He wasn't box-to-box at all. He was just a huge disappointment. You're right. Maybe he's better off in Mexico in the sunshine with his own people there. He might be a better player, but we can only judge him when he's come into Scotland. And at Rangers, he was an absolute nightmare.
Well, you get 20 games in the run, maybe, you know, with a guy who's playing consistently there in Mexico, he'll get his fitness up. He might come back a better player. If he plays really well over there, we might be able to sell him. So once again, that could be a win-win situation. But then again, he could go there and play like a dumb one, and he's coming back to Ibrox. You know what I mean?
It's all for maybes, isn't it? Yeah.
Great stuff. Thanks to George in Rutherglen, our opening call of the evening. We're going to take more of your calls, and we'll hear from a happy Jack Ross after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Derek Johnson and Fraser Wishart here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Peter Maley's on Twitter. Fraser, he says, where's the Shugster? I'm starting to miss the old geezer. Is he okay? Everyone, I think,
listen, you'll be sitting by the pool just now having a wee glass of wine. Don't worry about
it's
the
just
Shugster.
Nice to know that people are concerned. But yeah, Fraser, don't worry about that, because Marco's also been in touch, and he says, you have my boyhood hero on tonight. Best defender Motherwell have had. Cracking player.
Oh, you're going to say the best defender Pollock I've ever had.
I was going to say, it remains to be seen if Marco's surname is Wishart, and that's just a family
thank
member
you, Marco.
Who's getting in touch. If you want to phone us, 01419511025. And as you heard, we're on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. We're going to hear from St Mirren boss Jack Ross in just a second. A great weekend for the buddies. So St Mirren fans, come on, get in touch with us, and we'll get to that after we speak to Thomas in Barrhead. Hi Thomas.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi Thomas.
At the outset, in common with no doubt everybody, can I send my best wishes to Nacho Novo and wish him a very speedy recovery?
Yeah, we don't mind you stealing your thunder, Thomas. I was going to do that at the end of the show, but absolutely, Derek, I think that goes without saying.
Yeah, he's in the Rangers legend side, as you know. I took them 4 or 5 weeks ago at Kilwinning, and he played. He was unbelievably fit, running about like he normally does, you know. So I think I was just stunned when I read about it, but you're absolutely correct. I think he's in the right place. He's in hospital for the next 4 or 5 days, feeling a lot better. Hopefully back by the weekend, back to his normal self again.
Okay, Thomas, what's your point tonight?
My point is, I'm a concerned season ticket holder, but a shareholder as well.
At Rangers, Thomas, just to be clear,
of course. Okay. Yeah, I beg your pardon, yes, at Rangers. And my concern is, as I have had in previous calls, is about the financial situation at Rangers, and it's about the Jamie Murphy transfers in particular. When this was mooted at first, it was a given that it was going to be a permanent transfer. However, as I've said before, when it was the Derek McInnes fiasco, there was a, shall we say, just a source known to me that at Ibrox that basically the permanent transfer fell through because Brighton were looking for £300,000 down payment, which Rangers can't afford. And Brighton weren't then happy with the financial arrangements the Rangers were putting in place and the guarantees given. Therefore, they agreed to a loan deal, which is why Rangers are the only club who have the option to buy him in the summer. It's not like it's a loan and then he's up to offers in the summer. It's if Rangers can show that they have the money to pay for him, they can buy him. And it's like the Derek McInnes thing. It's the continuous leaks coming out is that Rangers financially do not appear to be in a sound position. And it does give concern that we can't push through what in effect is a £1 million transfer, especially when it appears that Carlos Peña is moving back and we could be recouping at least wages, if not the majority of his transfer fee.
Okay, Fraser, let me put that one to you first, because the first caller tonight actually said he was happy with the way it turned out. He would prefer Jamie Murphy in loan. But there's Thomas on saying, well, from his point of view, he feels that it shows that Rangers actually didn't have the money to force through the permanent transfer and that he's concerned that that's... Do you understand that opinion?
Yeah, I do. And I think that in an ideal world, Rangers would have wanted to sign him, you know. And you know, Thomas is telling us things.
That's quite undeniable, isn't it? The Rangers, they wanted it to be a permanent signing, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the fact that they couldn't do that might mean... I mean, Thomas is going by some kind of source. I've got no idea why the deal couldn't go through on a permanent basis. But whether it was down to the down payment or the initial down payment or the payment plan or whatever, I mean, most transfers are done over the term of a contract, you know. So it's a 3-year contract with three payments, whatever the transfer fee is. But in this case, Brighton have not been happy with what's been going on. So, it's hard to work out. What I would say is that, you know, from Thomas's point of view, the Rangers fans, all we know in the public domain is, as we said before, there's been loans from directors to keep the thing going, to keep the cash flow going. So from that point of view, that has to stop at some point, you know. And I think Dave King's made it clear that that is dependent on certain things happening, maybe second in the league, winning a cup,
European football,
etc., etc. So that's why it's important for Rangers to get players in and to finish second in the league this year, because there's less qualifying games and there's more of a chance of getting to where they want to be. But you know, at some point, Rangers have to start to break even and have to start to make some kind of money, because the directors can't just keep putting money in forever and ever. So of course I can understand Thomas's worries and Thomas's point of view. They've got the player who will help them get to second place perhaps, or get to a cup final perhaps, or into Europe, whatever. Now, because in the end, Jamie Murphy makes Rangers a better team. You know, he's a better player than the players are playing in that position. So therefore he's a good signing. So in a sense, it's a second option. It's not the best option that Rangers wanted. It's a second option, and in the summer they can reassess. Now, Thomas mentions Peña. Peña's deal, we don't know how much of the wages are being covered. I presume there'll be a small loan fee, but they're not going to recoup the transfer fee at this very moment as well. So it's not as if that money's coming into the clubs. It's just a saving on wages. So again, helps, but it's not going to give them this money for the huge down payment.
Do you see where Thomas is coming from, Derek? Because I know that people may want to spin it another way and say that this is good now, they can have a look at him and so on. But if you go back to the start of it, Rangers wanted him on a permanent deal, and it's turned out not to be that. So do you see where Thomas is coming from?
I do, but I still find it strange. And I know Fraser's got his own outlook on it, but you know, to allow him to come up to Glasgow, you know, they have to agree a deal.
Yeah, but they don't. Fraser explained that to us on Saturday.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that is the case. I mean, if I'm Chris Hughton and he's going up to Glasgow, say he's there, look, we'll want at least £1 million for him. So you agree £1 million.
But that's, Fraser, you raised the point Saturday that you've been involved in deals
all deals are not like that. Every deal is different. We don't know. We can only guess and say, well, maybe that is the case.
But that's what I mean then. That assumption.
The one thing you're right is they wanted him on a permanent deal, and obviously the money wasn't up front for them. So they're obviously short of money, Rangers. They backed the last manager to the tune of 8 million thereabouts or whatever. You know, and they backed the manager, and it's been horrific for them. You know, the majority of them are not good enough. I think what Rangers have to do is try and get rid of the majority of them again, because if you're not good enough, then you've got to try and ship them out. But as Fraser says, and as we all know, if you're on a decent wage and you're not going to get that money anywhere else, you're going to stay where you are. And they're quite entitled to do that.
01419511025 if you want to have your say. I did say I wanted to hear from some happy buddies. Maybe you're still out celebrating, I don't know. But let's hear from Jack Ross anyway. He says he's delighted that they were able to stretch their gap at the top of the Championship to 6 points after their 1-0 win against Inverness. It was Gavin Riley's 20th goal of the season that secured the win, and Ross says it's a credit to his players how well they've dealt with that busy festive period.
I think in this period, I've said often enough over the last probably 4 to 6 week period, when you've got so many fixtures, that results are the be all and end all in that period. We've managed to earn a really good run of results, but I thought performance wise we were good today as well. It was a good game, you know. Mm-hmm. I thought it was an entertaining game and probably should be more goals than there was in it, but delighted to come out on the right side of it.
And the finish from Gavin Riley, an acute angle, he put it away well.
Yeah, I think that's reflective of how he feels about himself. You know, to score 20 goals in all competitions at this time of year is a fantastic contribution to our season. He had a difficult season and a half probably recently, so he's came here, he feels good about himself, and you don't score goals like that unless you do that.
In the second half, Inverness created one or two chances when he was needed. Craig Sampson was there for you with one or two saves.
Yeah, Craig's been a terrific signing for me, not just his contribution on the part, but how he is around the squad and changing him in the training ground on a daily basis. And we just finished discussing that, and there, you're never going to go through a game in this league without needing your goalkeeper. And we're fortunate that when he's been called upon this season in the main, he's produced for us. And he saves were an important time, because I think we had chances to put the game to bed, and when you don't do that, you always run the risk that you might give up chances at the other end.
And finally, at this stage of the season, you must be delighted with where you're sitting and what your team's managed to do in the first half.
Yeah, but it's been a great first half of the season for us. We've managed to put points on the board through a difficult period and in a league that it's hard to do that consistently. We're giving ourselves a cushion at the moment, but we know there's a lot of hard work ahead of us, but an enjoyable time to be around the club.
So as we said, gentlemen, at the start, we've been given a big focus in the Championship last weekend and next weekend. Well, the top flight is away on its holidays, so to speak. It goes without saying, Fraser, I don't think Jack Ross could have hoped for a much better festive period when you look at the way things have panned out, not only beating his closest rivals previously, but winning at the weekend and seeing Dundee United lose in such spectacular fashion as well.
Yeah, I think Jack's problem is going to be trying to keep his players' feet in the ground a wee bit, you know, because they've got to where they are by having a system, by working hard, by being good professionals. And sometimes you can just lose that wee bit of focus if you start to think too far ahead of themselves. But at the same time, they've got to keep that confidence and keep that winning mentality and keep the feeling of winning games, because momentum's a huge thing, an absolutely huge thing. And Dunfermline, I watched them the weekend. They were really good in the first half, fade away in the second half, but they've got good players, and they play at home to Dundee United this weekend, you know. Yeah. And so it's a big game for Dundee United, and if they don't win that one, and the gap gets bigger, all of a sudden there's a wee key period, I think, for Dundee United coming soon, because that gap just grows and grows. But a brilliant 12 months for St Mirren, absolutely brilliant. Jack's done a fantastic job with James Fowler, the players he's brought in, the senior players, Morgan and McGuinness and all these guys, Riley, they get all the credit. But guys like Ian McShane, guys like Stephen McGinn, have been terrific, absolutely terrific around the place. And St Mirren is a good place to be at the moment. Just got to keep the momentum going and don't look too far ahead of themselves.
I was going to say that, Fraser, you're 100% correct. And the thing that I've noticed watching St Mirren over the last 18 months or so, they've got the spine of the team right. You know, when you're looking at all the way through the middle, you know, Beard and Davis at centre backs.
Yep.
And they've also got two or three big centre halves that are injured just now that can come in. So they're solid there. McGuinness and McGinn in midfield have been outstanding for them. And Riley up front is just scoring goals for fun alongside Morgan. You know, so they have got the basis of a great spine. And I think that's the reason that they're top of the league.
Ian is a St Mirren fan in Paisley. Hi, Ian.
Hi, how you doing? All right.
Good, thanks, Ian. A happy St Mirren fan, I would imagine.
Yeah, without a doubt, yeah. I've been a St Mirren fan all my life, and obviously anybody that has supported St Mirren for this long, they can always tell you it's like a roller coaster. Many, many, many downs and quite a few ups as well. Obviously, you know, when we get the ups, we celebrate them. But yeah, we don't like to get too ahead of ourselves this year, but obviously first half of the season has been tremendous. And point I was going to make, there's been obviously a lot said about like Sir Lewis Morgan, Gavin Riley, but you know, I don't feel like there's anyone in that team at the moment that doesn't get pass marks. We've got guys in there that are just 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10 every week, and I think that's been the reason for our success. It's not based on individual performances, it's as a team. Everyone just seems to be pulling in the one direction, which, you know, I think that's key if you're going to win this league. The consistency and whatever else as well. So
yes, certainly if you're at the top of the table, Fraser, as Ian says, I mean, it's Lewis Morgan understandably gets a lot of the headlines and so on, but there's no way you keep up a title winning type of consistency, unless the vast majority of players are all doing it more often than not.
Yeah, I was just going to say to Ian, what do you think's changed since the start of the season? Start of the season, someone could win 3-0, but they could lose 3-0. But in recent weeks, they began to look a bit more solid. Ian, what's been the big change in the team?
I think when you start going on a run, you start winning games. You know, it does become a really good habit, and I think you get a wee bit more resilient. You get a wee bit more determination. You know, and I think defensively, obviously Harry Davis has come back in, and one boy I was going to mention in particular, like to single out, was Jack Baird. I haven't heard anything mentioned about Jack Baird in the press recently, and the boy is. The difference in his game has been phenomenal. I think it helps having somebody with Davis's experience beside him, but he's been one of the boys that has come on massively. And, you know, as I said, if you've got especially a defence performing at that level every week, then you're not going to lose as many goals, and obviously you're going to pick up more points in that regard. So I would say, yeah, I'd say defensively they've been more consistent and more resilient, and like ultimately that's what's got us to where we are just now. That's to answer your question,
Fraser.
That's
because
it's got us where we are at this moment in time.
I agree with you about Jack Baird. I mean, I'm a bit biased because he actually was at the same school as my two children, so I know Jack and his family well. But he's cut out the daft mistakes. He was always kind of a good player, but he would make a mistake cost a goal. But he's been outstanding this year.
I think it's like we've got a fairly young squad, and you know, I think sometimes with these guys maybe there was a bit more pressure put on their shoulders than what there should have been, but I think last season helped massively as well, because you know, it was tough for us last season, and we had to show a lot of bottle to get out of the situation we were in. And you know, there was games where some of the boys, it was just, I think the pressure got to them a little bit, but I think you look back to what happened with Hearts a few years ago when they were in the Premier League and they get the points deducted, and you know, they started that season where they've done really well, and I think that set them up perfectly for the following year when they went down to the Championship and come straight back up again. So I think the experience of that's definitely helped us. But I'm only continue anyway. Like, I'm not complaining about it. It's all good at the moment.
Listen, what did you make it when Jack Ross was on our show, Ian, on Wednesday night, or was it Thursday? Anyway, whatever night it was, he basically said that he felt that they could use last season, because in the second half of last season they had must-win games every week because they had to stay up. Now, I know it's a different end of the table, but it's still must-win games because they're now trying to win the thing. So that was the sort of mentality he said he was trying to get across. Do you think that's something you can see?
Without a doubt. I mean, you can see that the players are feeding off everything that's happening around the club just now. I mean, there was a long time there where a lot of fans went down to, we still call it Love Street, obviously, but I don't know what it's called now, because it's not a 2021, is it? Whatever they're calling the stadium, like I say, we call it Love Street. There was a lot of fans been down there every week, and we were like scunnered, you know. But it was just getting to the point where we weren't seeing any results, and the stadium itself felt soulless. But everything's changed. There's a massive buzz about it now, and you know, there's a lot of people behind the scenes that are creating that. You know, we've got a group of young supporters there that are really pushing on things like the drum and all that. I don't know if you've heard much about this, but everything just seems to be going in a really positive direction, and I think that's just rubbing off on everyone. You know, everyone's getting a buzz from that.
I think you're right, Ian, because I think the crowd at the Dundee United game was nearly 6,500. Yeah. I know United filled the end with about 1,800 or something, but that's still a bigger than usual St Mirren support, and that's what you're going to get. If you're up there going for it, then attendances are going to be bigger.
Now remember, folks, since it's the winter break, this is night one of our grassroots, our youth football week. We want you to get involved. So after 7 o'clock tonight, we're going to start things off, and we've got lots of different aspects coming up across the week, looking at club academies, looking at the Scottish FA's performance schools, various things that I'm sure you'll be interested in. But tonight we're going to talk about school football. So I want your memories, I want your experiences of school's football. And maybe you were one of those guys that said, I went to school with someone who went on
Fraser Wisher,
Derek Johnson, I'm 79,
who went on to make it to the big time. So give us all your thoughts on that, and we'll take more of your calls after
this. He's a Johnny.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap in. Please gamble responsibly.
Derek Johnson and Fraser Wishart here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As we said, after seven, we kick off our grassroots, our youth football week, with a close look at schools football. I can see some of you have got your memories and thoughts flooding in here on Twitter. Why not join us at Clyde SSB? In the meantime, let's speak to Mark, who's a Rangers fan. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how you doing? Just the first point I would like to wish Natural for all the best through Ranger. My other point's just obviously, if Rangers would obviously a bad deal with Jason Cummins with Taffinier, and it's just to find out about Dean Windass, if there's been any more movement about him going back down south.
Well, Josh Windass, that's an easy mistake to make, to be fair, Mark. Lots do it. Derek, that seems to have gone a little bit quiet. There was obviously interest from Preston. Not to say it won't happen, January's a long month, but it's certainly gone quiet in the last few days. And this Jason Cummings one, that's the second call we've had on it tonight. There's not a great deal in it at the moment, but I guess all we can do is assess whether or not we can see why fans want it to happen.
But this is a great month for speculation, isn't it? You just throw a name in. I mean, the media like that as well. But, you know, Jason Cummings is not getting a regular game. You have to say that for Nottingham Forest. And it all depends. I mean, he's probably deep down inside him thinking, I want to play in England at some stage. You know, and he's just down there a season. Maybe not getting a game, but maybe he wants to stay down there. If he likes it, he likes the area, the football's different. All depends. If he's thinking like that, then he's no chance of coming home again. But if he is homesick with his girlfriend or his wife or whatever it is, and he wants to come back, then he's certainly one that Rangers could be looking at, it because he's one man that does know where the goals are. You know, and he can play up on his own. He can score any type of goal that you want. He's got a bit of pace. He can take people on. He's a good box player. He would be ideal for Rangers. But I've heard absolutely nothing about it. I think it is speculation. And I think what he might leave it for actually another season. See how this season goes. Get his bit of training in. And then if he's going to get a game next year, great. If not, then you'll be thinking about moving on somewhere.
Things have, of course, changed there as well, with Mark Warburton no longer the manager, Fraser. So it's an uncertain time. You know, players maybe get the chance to show a new manager what they can do, or perhaps they immediately find that that's not going to happen. So it just depends.
Yeah, and usually in this situation, the club won't release any players, even on loan, until such time as they appoint a new manager. And good result for them yesterday in the cup. So there are a few quid in the coffers as well for the club. But until they appoint a new manager, there'll be no decision made on that. And even from Jason Cummins' point of view, if the new manager wants him or says, listen, I want you to stay here, I still think he's better staying. You know, sometimes you can come up back up the road too early. And if he was coming to Rangers, then a loan might suit him and suit everybody else, if it was to be that, because you don't want to give in too early. You want to come back up the road having given it your best shot.
You don't want to be a failure. Come back a failure.
Yeah, but if, listen, it made Rangers a better team. And in the end, that's what you're looking for when you're bringing players in. Do they give you something different that you've not got? Yep. And if they make you a better team? Yep. So he ticks both boxes. But I don't know anything about that one, Mark. I really don't get inside track. I just know what I read. The Tavernier one, I think, is less likely to go down there now that Mark Warburton's left, you know, because Mark Warburton signed him, loved him. He's been a better player this year, Tavernier. I think he's been very good for Rangers. So
his best game in all for him, Game Fraser.
I'm not sure they'd let him go. Far better defensively this year.
Mark, is the reason for this call because you particularly want to see Rangers add a striker in this window? Is that what you're getting at?
Well, Jason Cummins hasn't really featured for Nottingham Forest, and I think if they can get their money back for him, they'll be quite happy. But another thing I noticed this morning, all the nonsense about Stephen Naismith playing for nothing, I mean, that would never happen. I mean, that would probably happen in the 70s and 80s, late 90s. But when it happened this day and age, he was going to come back. It was in the sun, he was going to come back and play for nothing this morning. What a nonsense.
Well, that seems to be the impression that Stephen Naismith has given to someone, Fraser. Time will only tell if that turns out to be true.
A lot of money to give up for coming back and playing. I don't know how much is in that. I read another piece today on one of the websites saying that there was two or three English clubs interested in taking him on loan, and they'd be paying sort of £10,000-£20,000 a week towards his wages. So I'm not up for people working for nothing. Trade unionists, minimum wage, you know, you can't have people working for nothing. No, not at all. Unless you're Derek Johnson.
That'll be right. Let's bring in Jim and Saul Coates. Hi, Jim.
Evening, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, good, Jim. You?
Hi, Jim.
Aye, not too bad. No, I'm listening to all the talk about football transfers and stuff. I think the one that was missed last week was the fact that Jamie Walker went to Wigan for £300,000, who was subjected to, I don't know how many approaches by Rangers and bids. were failed in the summer. I just found that incredible that nobody picked up on that.
Well, it was just completed today, Jim. I was going to mention it at some point tonight, so let's do it now. Completed a £300,000 signing it was today from Hart to Wigan. Much publicised, Fraser, a one-time target of Rangers, as Jim says. He's now put pen to paper on a 2.5-year deal for Wigan. So
does seem strange. I agree with you, Jim. Did strike me today when I saw the deal going through. I wondered why Rangers chased him apparently in the last transfer window. Couldn't match the price that Hearts wanted, but I would guess it'd be more than 300,000.
One of the £1 million, yeah.
Yeah, and now 6 months or 4 months or 5 months later, they don't want it. Maybe it's a change of manager. Maybe it's a change of coach. I don't know, Jim. I mean, I like Walker as a player, and again, I think he brings something different to Rangers. But why chase him so hard in the last window and not go from now?
Actually, I think I've got the answer to the fact that they're not chased on very hard, and they had this situation with Jamie Murphy. I was given a wee bit of information there from a very good source that Rangers will be going into voluntary administration again next Monday to get rid of King, for one, and because of the fact that there's a desperate shortage of money there.
Well, that's the... No. Jim's got his source. Derek obviously doesn't agree, as you can hear. No, Fraser, no. I'm not saying Jim's source is not correct. We really...
Yeah, listen, we've got to be careful with these things. We've got to comment on facts. I've heard a million rumours about all sorts of things that happen in football. Heard this rumour, that rumour... You know, for a radio show, then we've got to discuss what we know, and what we know is to be facts. So, Jim's source, what do you say?
And what we do know factually, Fraser, as you said earlier, is that the Rangers are relying on loans and all the rest of it, and that the financial picture isn't particularly healthy. But we don't, like, at the moment, understand it to be anything as severe as what Jim's saying, and various other tweeters who are getting in touch with me this evening as well.
Listen, there's speculation everywhere, and people phone me and tell me they've heard this and they've heard that, and I've heard this rumour that Jim's saying many times, but I certainly don't know anything about it. But, you know, as you said earlier on, of course Rangers' financial situation's got to change. You can't keep relying on people putting in loans and soft loans and directors, etc. It's got to be turned around so that the income is increasing. And then comes more than the expenditure.
Jim, as a Celtic fan, what have you made of the transfer window so far? I suppose been relatively quiet. Lewis Morgan, Marvin Compeer, anything else that you're hoping for your team?
I think Compeer coming in is going to make a big difference. You know, I need somebody in there. I'd love to see him and I are making a partnership together. And the young boy Morgan coming in, who's pulling up daisies at St Mirren, who are also pulling up daisies in the Championship. I think you've got to do a lot of congratulations. We've got to go to St Mirren. It's considering the situation they were in last year, they looked as though they were going down another division.
Mm.
It's great to see. It's just unfortunate some of the things that happened. The bigger teams that may have mocked their Scottish football, in my opinion. But we'll see what happens next week. I'll certainly phone you back.
I'm sure we will indeed.
Another point, there's supposed to be a punishment of 15 points, which obviously wouldn't affect Rangers and staying in the Premiership.
Right.
But again, time will tell.
Time will tell. Thanks very much to Jim in Saltcoats. It is 5 to 7, the same time every night when we do this.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Fraser Wishart and Derek Johnson are standing by, and if you want to take them on, then you better pick up the phone right now. Give us a call on 0141 951 1025 and you could play Beat the Pundit after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Fraser Wishart and Derek Johnson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I did tell you that in the second hour of tonight's show we were going to kick off our grassroots week, looking at all things youth football across the week. And tonight we're going to kick it off looking at school football. So I've put a tweet out there. If you'd rather reply to that, feel free. If not, get in touch. We're looking for your memories, your experiences of school football. And maybe you were one of those guys that had someone in your school football team that went on to make the big time. You're going to phone in and tell us that you were better than him, but he got the lucky break and went on to the big time. So we'll have a look at school football as soon as we do this.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Okay, let's meet tonight's contestant. He's Gary McGilvery from Darnley. Hi Gary.
How you doing, guys? Alright?
Yeah, not bad, you?
Not bad, aye. Yep.
Good stuff. Who would you rather take on? If I gave you the choice, who would it be, DJ or Fraser? I'm going to toss the coin anyway, but I just like to know.
Nah,
No fuss. That's all I got.
Probably beat me either.
That's it. Gary takes on all comers. Right, let's toss the coin anyway. Heads, it's Fraser, Wishart, tails, it is going to be DJ that you're up against. When it is, it's heads, it's Fraser, Wishart. Into the deep end, Fraser. You're here in place of
I was
Mr. Hugh
Friday as well, so I'm under pressure.
Oh, you've got the chance to make up for it. That's fine. Okay, let's give Fraser some Clyde 2 in his ear. Make sure that he can't steal your answers and get the clock set up for you, Gary. It's 30 seconds head to head. You can pass, remember, Gary. Here's your chance to beat the pundit, okay?
Right.
Which Hearts winger's moved to English club at Wigan?
Jamie Walker.
What nationality is new Hibs signing Jamie McLaren?
Austrian.
With which club did Jamie Murphy begin his professional career?
Motherwell.
Who knocked Arsenal out of the FA Cup over the weekend?
Nottingham Forest.
How many goals did Falkirk score against Dundee United on Saturday?
Six.
What technology will be used for the first time in a competitive English match tonight?
The video referee.
Which team is Queen of the South striker Chris Kane on loan from?
St Johnston.
Okay, let's bring Fraser Wishart back. Are you with us?
I'm with you.
Okay,
yes.
Same set of questions to you. You ready?
Yes.
Right, let's do it. Which Hearts winger has moved to English side Wigan?
Jamie Walker.
What nationality is new Hibs signing Jamie McLaren?
Australian.
With which club did Jamie Murphy begin his professional career?
Motherwell.
Who knocked Arsenal out of the FA Cup over the weekend?
Nottingham Forest.
How many goals did Falkirk score against Dundee United
Six.
On Saturday? What technology will be used for the first time in a competitive English match tonight?
VAR.
Which team is Queen of the South striker Chris Kane on loan from?
St Johnson.
And time for one more. How many different countries has Chris Boyd played his club football in?
Four.
Okay. So Gary, he was a bit quicker than you. He got through one more question. But that doesn't always mean that he's managed to get the victory. Although I'm looking in the direction of the man who makes up these questions, and you guys don't need to know this, but he's been away on his holidays. It's his first night back, and I think he's gone a bit easy on you both, if you don't mind me saying. I think the time in the sun's messed with his head a little bit, and he's made them a bit easy. Anyway, which Hearts winger's moved to Wigan? Jamie Walker. You both got that correct. With which club did Jamie Murphy begin his professional career? Because I'm going to come back to number two, it might be significant. It was Motherwell. You both got that correct. Who knocked Arsenal out of the FA Cup over the weekend? Nottingham Forest. You both got that correct. Falkirk scored six at the weekend. You both got that. You seen a theme developing here, Mr. Question Maker. VAR will be used for the first time in a competitive English match tonight. You both got that correct. You both knew that Chris Kane was on loan from St Johnston, which means that the real important one out of the questions you still got is which nationality was new Hibs signing Jamie McLaren. This one's going to separate you. Fraser Wishart said Australian, and it is Australian. To be fair, Gary, you would expect the head of the PFA in Scotland to know these things. It was Australian, and like I said, he rubbed salt into the wounds because he got an extra question in, and Chris Boyd has played club football in four countries, so he's pipped you by two. I think that was an 8-6.
Listen, that's the easiest one I've ever heard.
Give us some credit.
You don't get credit in this show. Gary, thanks for taking
one blue nose to another. Should be giving a bit of credit, DJ. Come on, big man.
Well done to Gary. That was Gary McGilvery in Darnley. Thanks for that, Gary. Beat the pundit back, same time tomorrow night. Now, like I said, many of you who are regular listeners might remember this last year, and if you're new to this whole setup, then welcome. But this time of the year, the winter break, the top flight teams are away, things tend to get a little bit quiet, and we like to do something a bit different. So we're kicking off our grassroots week, our look at youth football, all aspects of it. We're going to cover off things like grassroots boys clubs in the community. We're going to look at some charity work. We're going to look at the club academy system. We're going to look at the performance schools as well. So lots to come over the next week, and we're very keen for you to get in touch. So we're kicking things off tonight by looking at schools football, something that everyone, I'm sure, has some form of an opinion on. So get in touch with us and let us know your thoughts. 01419511025, or we're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Now we are joined by Mr. Do we have to call you Mr. Downey? Are we allowed first names, or what's the protocol?
No, Sir will do.
Sir will do.
Good evening, Mr. Downey.
Good evening, Mr. Downey.
It's definitely Paul now for that. Anyway, so we're joined by Mr. Paul Downey from Hindland Secondary School. Again, some of you may remember, Paul has joined us on the show previously to talk about all things schools football. Before we get into detail, Paul, just remind us a bit about your backstory in the sense that a couple of years ago, Hindland Secondary School, where you now work, had no formal setup, no school football teams competing, and you took a look at that and just decided, you know, that's not good enough, essentially.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks very much for having me back into the studio. It's absolutely brilliant to see Clyde One continuing to support Scottish football at all levels and not just at the top flight. When I joined England a couple of years ago, there wasn't a huge amount of football within the school, and it didn't seem right for a school in Glasgow to be in that position. So with the support of the management within the school and of other staff, we worked extremely hard over the period of kind of 18 to 24 months, and became the first school in Scotland to receive the SSFA Schools Quality Award, and then went on to create a number of teams across the school. When I came on the show this time last year, we were struggling with transport, and I was really excited at the time to announce that Arnold Clark had provided us with a minibus for 12 months, which we're currently in the process of fundraising for as that 12 months period comes to an end in this March. And you know, it's been a real journey over the last couple of years. We've been very fortunate to have huge enthusiasm from all the young people within the school. We've got a significant number of pupils taking part in our teams. We've also expanded a little bit, and after one of our pupils asked for an extra trophy, we got in touch with Celtic and set up the Lisbon Lions Trophy, which took place in May this year, which involved, I think, about 256 pupils from across Glasgow and the West, 16 schools, and you know, which was fantastic. So it's been a real journey over the last couple of years. It's been a real privilege to be involved with.
I mean, Fraser and Derek, I'm looking to tap into your experiences as well as guys who obviously went and played professionally, but I think it's to guys of your generation as well. You know, that was such a huge part of growing up, I would imagine, the school's football setup.
It was huge for us, and I'm interested to know from Paul's point of view, what are the barriers to school's football? Why is school's football sort of dip? And you come into to your school, what did you have to deal with in terms of barriers? What was stopping schools setting up teams?
Well, I think there's a number of barriers, I think, towards everything at the moment. You know, all the staff that are involved in schools football at the moment do it on a voluntary basis. They give up a huge amount of time to do that. And I think if you look at the whole picture across the country, that has to have an impact at some level. You know, you're continually relying on the goodwill and the enthusiasm of you know, staff who across the country are extremely committed and hardworking. And that's certainly been my experience. In terms of facilities, you know, the facilities are undoubtedly improving. You know, we've got access to fantastic facilities, and you know, a huge thank must go to Glasgow City Council actually, who provide synthetic pitches for the Glasgow Schools Football Association. So schools who maybe don't have their own facilities do get access to these pitches throughout the year in order to play matches, especially with the weather in this country. You know, you really need access to those facilities, which is important. And again, transport's a big issue. If you have to travel across the city, you know, they cost very, very quickly add up. And you know, as I said, we've worked hard to try and come up with solutions
to those. I mean, Derek, were you a particularly successful school footballer? Do you have fond memories of that?
Yeah, oh, very much. So that's where it all starts for you. You know, at primary school, you know, you get in the primary school team. And I can always remember that there was arguments at the school who was going to take the team, because nobody actually wanted it. And eventually, I think for 1 year, the janitor took the team. The Janny actually was allowed to do that in these days, and he took us there, and then I think the science teacher after that took us for the rest of our time at primary school. But secondary school made it for me. I was disappointed in a way with two PE teachers one was an ex-footballer and one was an ex-rugby player, and neither of them wanted to spend their Saturday mornings, you know, taking the team, because obviously they did it for free. And they weren't happy with that, so they stopped doing it. Well, but again, I think the maths teacher took us, and that's where you learn. That's when the scouts are coming to watch you, when you're 12, 13, 14. I was fortunate. I was the same height at 13 as I was at 16 when I signed for Rangers. I was just under 6 feet. So you stood out. And as a youngster, I can always remember the third year game, an FA Cup tie against a Glasgow team. And I was in first year, and they actually put me up 2 years to play against them because I was bigger, because this team were all full of boys that were 14 and 15.
Yep.
And you know, and I was only 13, and I played very, very well against them, which showed people, you know, you can't play against people that are bigger than you and 2 years older than you. But that's where it all starts, and that's when the scouts come and watch you from that age. And these days, they wanted to get you 12, 13, 14 to get you into their clubs.
So like I said, in terms of the listeners, what we're looking for from you are your memories of school football, your experiences, your thoughts. Maybe you've got children involved at the moment. And I want to know as well, I want that claim to fame. I want somebody to get on here and say, I went to school with... Name me a big footballer. Tell me you were better than him. Explain why it didn't work out for you at school. Loads of tweets coming in. I like this. This is our city. I think he sums it up. He says his memories: freezing cold Saturday mornings, no showers, red ash pitches, dodging broken glass and dog. Can't read that word out on radio. And winning the cup at Rosebery Park in Polmadee. Yes. Stuart McInnes played at Castlehead High with my namesake Derek McInnes. He once turned up at 15 year old in a Morton blazer, played for us in the morning, then Morton reserves in the afternoon. Great player back then, but no left foot.
See, I told you, you don't get credit in this coming program. Through to Glasgow to play on the Red Blaze. We'd never heard of that in Dundee. It was just grass.
Is that a Glasgow phenomenon?
We came through and we couldn't believe it. Went to the school and we're playing in the school grounds on Red Blaze. And I always remember the teacher of the other side came in to us and said, look, can I just say something to you lads? Don't be slide tackling, because this stuff is very, very rough and you'll do yourself an injury.
I'm sure you listened to that.
And so you went out the door, and our teacher went, never mind them lassies next door, let's get stuck into them. Typical people from the north talking about the glass regions. Honestly, everybody stood up in the bus on the way home because we all slid in and ripped the back of our hamstrings. It was all blood, so you couldn't sit down because it was sticking to your trousers.
John's in Linwood. John, how are you?
How's it, guys?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Listen, I've got a funny story about schoolboy football.
Okay.
If I can take his back, Gordon, I don't know if you're old enough, but 1975.
John, you have no idea how far away I am from that. But anyway, carry
right,
on.
Yeah, as a family, we went to Butlins in 1975, and I'm sure it was there, Butlins. And there was a tournament, and it was a schoolboy tournament. And me and my dad and my brother, we were watching it. Now, there was this big guy. When I say big guy, me as a child, there was a big fellow in the park. And my dad's going like that, shouting at the guy, come on, get off and let the kids play the football. So he must have been saying that for a good 5 or 10 minutes, giving the guy pelters, you know, let the kids play football. Now, my dad's not got the best, he didn't have the best eyesight, but when he realised it was Billy McNeil in a tournament exhibition with the kids, he was like, oh, Billy, can we get a photograph of you, please?
After standing giving him abuse
for
20 minutes.
See that photograph, I mean, I remember the day easily. I mean, my brother Tom's, he passed away in 2004, and my dad in 2012. So that photo of us three together, Billy McNeil, Caesar, honestly, I cherish it. It was just such a funny day how my dad was getting big Caesar pelters and then having the cheek to go and get the photograph with him.
That's a good memory, John. I like that. I'm going to bring in Paul again. You're certainly the expert here, Paul. How would you assess then the health of schools football in this area? I mean, if you look at perhaps participation numbers currently compared to recent years, my guess would be that the overall perception from those who don't know, like myself, is that maybe things are in a state which we would prefer was a bit better. But is there any truth in some suggestions I read that maybe we are looking, things are looking on the up in terms of schools football?
Well, do you know, I think you always have to be in a state where you think things should be a little bit better. I think the day that when we stop thinking that, we'll have a bigger problem than we do at the moment. I was just listening to Derek there, you know, remembering fondly his own memories from schools football. And I think when somebody who's had that experience since schools football, who can still remember specific games, they've got specific memories, you know, I think that really sums up how important schools football is to young people, and how those memories do stay with people. In terms of where we're at the moment, following on from the Lisbon Lions tournament and what we achieved within our own school at Hindland, the Glasgow Schools Football Association very kindly asked me to sit on their committee this year, and it's given me a much greater insight into the sort of state of schools football across the city. And in truth, the situation is certainly an improving picture. It might not always feel like that, standing at the side of a pitch on a cold, icy day. But you know, the percentage of games that are being played is up, the number of pupils that are involved is up, and even the number of games that are that have qualified referees officiating is the same, if not slightly higher. And again, this comes down to you know, to the goodwill and the enthusiasm by volunteers.
Yeah.
The Glasgow Schools Football Association is made up of voluntary serving and retired teachers. And, you know, specifically looking at the referee situation, you know, these referees don't get paid. And if it wasn't for the work of people like Stuart McLaughlin, who puts in a huge amount of effort just to getting kids referees to their games, you know, these matches wouldn't take place. Mm. I think at the moment, certainly this season, I think we've got 42 schools affiliated within Glasgow. We've got 110 teams across all age groups playing, which is about 1,600 pupils involved on a weekly basis.
And that is most of the schools, by the way, isn't it? For anyone who thinks, well, yeah, how does that compare? You know, that's most of the schools.
Yeah, so of the 42, 29 are actually Glasgow-based schools. 13 come from East and West Dumbartonshire and also Argyll and Bute. And they come and they play their matches within Glasgow. I think, you know, between September and December, we've had approximately 260 matches played, and 75% of those have had an official referee, which, again, when you think about the circumstances under which these games have been played, is a real success story.
Yeah, that's terrific.
In terms of barriers, Paul, Chrissy Thornton tweeted in here to say school football's taken a major dip due to most players being banned from their youth academies. Now, I know that certainly when I was at school, I remember that, you know, a couple of guys who were perhaps at Celtic or at Rangers or at Motherwell, you know, weren't allowed to play with the school team. Does that still exist in your experience, or is it a case by case basis?
Certainly, in my own experience, within our school, you know, this year particularly, we've had a lot more support from the staff, which has been fantastic, and we've got Mr. McMorris and Mr. Hall taking teams, and Miss Stewart looking at the girls' team. But within my own team, in the kind of under-15s, under-16s setup, you know, we've got three or four boys who played our football with Partick Thistle and Hamilton, are outstanding talents. They're incredible young men, and they've certainly never once turned down a game. You know, if you ask those,
so they've
boys,
got the support of the likes of, you know, Jerry Britton, for instance, at Partick Thistle.
Jerry particularly has been fantastic. Partick Thistle had an event on recently, on the same day that we had a Scottish Shield match, where we were travelling to the East Coast, and you know, we phoned up Jerry to ask if the boys could play, and you know, he was, if anything, he was enthusiastic that they should be playing. You know, the boys enjoy it. They're getting really good experience. They're getting match experience. And so, if anything, you know, I find them not only accommodating, but really enthusiastic. Jerry brought in some of the coaching staff to the school and helped run a coaching session.
Yeah. Fraser, that sounds quite encouraging, what Paul's saying. Not only are school football numbers up, and I think that might come as a surprise to some people, but these are the facts. You know, Paul's telling us in Glasgow, participation levels are up, and there is actually a level of support there from professional club academies and so on as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jerry's doing a great job there and understands the responsibilities of Partick Thistle as a club to go into the area and help people at Paul and encourage people to play football, because we get far too focused on the elite and on the Club Academy Scotland, and for years they weren't allowed to play schools football, and that's only changed through pressure in the last year and a half, and I think it's so important for the lads that Paul's talking about to play football with their friends, because they're taken at a young age to play with kids from all over Scotland or all over the west of Scotland, the central Scotland, wherever the club is. And you lose that side. It's a social thing. I mean, Derek's talking way back to there. I've had a couple of texts in from friends of mine who played with other schools, telling me my school was rubbish. Alan Bruce, well, rubbish wasn't the word, because they used to beat us. But that, I mean, that's 40 years ago.
I think
it's so important that we encourage young lads, as well as being at academies, play with their pals, play with their schools, improve their social skills, and just enjoy themselves.
Well, that's exactly what we done. We played for the school on a Saturday morning. I played for my boys' club in the afternoon, and I played for the street team on the Sunday.
Sunday as well.
Because you just love playing with all your friends, and that was one of the big things. Playing with your friends was great. Absolutely wonderful. You couldn't do that now. A kid gets signed by a club, you couldn't go and just play a kickabout with your friends in the park. You wouldn't be allowed to do that.
So many memories coming in from your time involved in schools football, but parents as well, maybe you've got children currently involved, you want to give us your thoughts on the way things are organised at the moment. We'll take more of your calls after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Derek Johnson and Fraser Wishart here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Bit of a special week for us as we go through our grassroots football week. And tonight our focus is on schools football. So many of you are getting in touch on Twitter with your memories. Really great to have those. I'll try and read as many as I can. If you want to come on the phone, 01419511025, because we are joined by Mr. Paul Downey from Highland Secondary School, who is very well versed in all things school football. So do get in touch. But Fraser and Derek, do not think you are off the hook.
We're busy with the
in terms
football.
Of the full time teaser, and you've even got a teacher in to help you this evening, so I'm sure you'll be fine. This one's been sent in by Dale Handley, and we always like to try and make it kind of relevant. So with Leeds United being knocked out of the FA Cup yesterday, that's the hook for this one. It says, since 1996, 10 players have played for both Rangers and Leeds. Can you name them? So it sounds simple, but when you look at some of the names, it's definitely not simple. Since 1996, 10 players have played for both Rangers and Leeds. Have you any to kick us off?
No.
Rangers.
Any science questions? Mr. Downey teaches science.
Not tonight, he doesn't. Okay, I'll give you some time to think about it. That's fine. I must admit, I was hoping there was going to be one
John
really
McClellan.
Obvious one. No, not since 96.
Well, he was there in 96.
So there we are.
He was in Leeds in 96.
1896, I think it was.
Okay, let's get back to the phones, shall we? Jed is in Brayhead. How are you, Jed?
Good evening. Good evening, Fraser. Good evening, Derek.
Good evening.
And also Mr. Downey. Mr. Downey, I know you as well. My name's Jed. I work for a company called Inspire Sport, and we've been official partners in the Scottish Schools FA for 14 years now, and we're taking in excess of 100,000 kids all over the UK, but it's mainly Scotland, to train and play at some of the world's top clubs. To likes of Valencia, Villarreal, Real Madrid, and also now I've got the contract for Manchester City's World Class Academy. So basically we take the kids away, giving boys and girls of all abilities to train at the world's top academies with academy coaches, play matches against similar standard opposition, chance to meet the players, and then the ultimate is to attend a top professional match. And as I say, for every kid that travels with Inspire Sport, we put money back into grassroots football and schools football in Scotland.
Jeddy, what kind of impact do you think that has? Do you think, you know, certain kids are maybe I'm not saying not fussed about football, but do you see that maybe sometimes these experiences are all it takes to kind of kickstart a love affair with the game that maybe they either didn't have or maybe had gone away a little bit?
Absolutely. I think that's a valid point. That's what Inspire Sport's all about, because there's so much more for kids to do these days. Gordon, and I believe that, you know, there's so much for them to do, and kids who come on our programmes, they may be kicking a ball for the first time, or need a bit disillusioned with the game, but when they come to the likes of Valencia or Manchester City and they're playing at the first team training academy, our kids can be in one pitch and the first team can be in the next pitch. And, you know, to be coached by world class coaches, I always say that they come away from our programmes and, you know, they haven't enjoyed it, then I think they maybe need to look at a different sport.
Paul, is that one of the main barriers perhaps that you face in terms of getting kids interested? I think we know that it's still our number one sport in this part of the world. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But as Jed mentions, with other options, other distractions, especially schools, and by the way, they're to be commended for this. I know that some of the extracurricular programmes are great and they offer a great range of things. I'm not saying we should ditch everything else and only offer the chance to play football, but is that one of the challenges for you in terms of trying to get people engaged?
Well, do you know, first and foremost, I mean, obviously Jed and Inspire Sports offer some great, great experiences. And, you know, they also sponsor things like the Scottish Youth Cup, which is fantastic. And it's really, really important that you know, companies like Inspire Sports are putting back into the game. And that's just fantastic, you know. I know Transworld do the same with the GSFA, and Premiership Experience run similar. You know, really world class experiences for youngsters to go and see games down south, to go and see things abroad. I know John Paul Academy, they're away to Dubai. I'm not sure who they're away with, but, you know, and I know there's a huge amount of excitement in the school. And these are sometimes places in the world that, you know, forgetting about the football, that the young people can't always get to go and see. And that's important that, you know, that we're able to offer them that as well. But I think that ability for them to put something back into the games, fantastic. I know that obviously Jed and Inspire Sports do that, and that's fantastic. But I don't think we've always got an issue with getting pupils interested in football. I don't think it takes too much to get a teenager interested in football. Providing that we provide them with high quality opportunities, and that's not just to go and watch games. That's that, you know, that's to actually play football as well. And that's really, you know, we were talking just off air there about the, you know, it has to be a long term goal of providing high quality opportunities, because it's not just about kids staying healthy, it's not just about them playing football. You know, it gives them, as we were saying earlier on, it gives them a sort of social aspect, it gives them discipline, it gives them respect, it gives them self-confidence, and that's so important. And it's about joining all the pieces up, it's about bringing in the support, and to really improve the opportunities that we're offering, and continuing to do that year on year, not just on a short term basis.
Loads of tweets coming in. Like I said before, Barry McFadden says, I was in the same year at school as Martin Canning and Alex Neil. So there we go, we've just imparted a bit of wisdom there, that those two Hamilton Accies managers went to the same school, were in the same year at school. Needless to say, I couldn't get near the team with those two in it. One of them dressed as Ginger Spice at the Halloween disco, but I won't say who. Barry McFadden.
I bet a wee tuft in those days.
And Token Jester says, I went to school with Joe Miller. I wasn't better than him ever. He was a schoolboy internationalist and scored at Wembley. Wee man was already famous before he left the Mungo. So loads of you are getting in touch, really enjoying some of your memories. Paul, just looking at the way the school football situation works at the moment. So you mentioned this Lisbon Lions Trophy. It's a new competition that was created last year. You said, you know, you in conjunction with Celtic and some other schools who were involved in the initial stages are trying to bring everyone together, give them an extra trophy to play for. Is that going to be an annual thing, or was it a one-off because of the anniversary last year?
Well, do you know what? I'm really, really chuffed to say that Celtic have actually been in touch over the past week, and I've confirmed that the tournament will be returning this year. And obviously myself, the Glasgow Schools Football Association, the school, and Celtic are obviously hoping that that will become an annual event now. And it's been absolutely phenomenal that a club of Celtic size. It's particularly at a time when they're experiencing so much success on the pitch and off the pitch, are able to take the time to back schools football at that level, and you know, the support that we've had from Peter Lowell, from Ian Jameson, and the whole team at the club has been absolutely outstanding, and really is a testament to their commitment not only to the legacy of the Lisbon Lions but also to supporting the young people across the city. We'd really love to see that sort of model of support coming from clubs at that level, really, you know, maybe taking a wee step forward now. You know, as I said, we've had Partick Thistle come into our school. I know they work with other schools in the area, but it'd be great to see all these big clubs, to see the players who are on the big wages, to see those people, you know, that are really at the top of the game.
Take a wee session after school or whatever for an hour, and to share
that with the kids and provide these high quality opportunities that, you know, that I'm looking for. And you know, it seems to be one of these conversations we have every year. You know, what are the problems with Scottish football? And I mentioned it off here. At times, it is a sense of self interest, and you know, for Celtic to have backed this tournament, I think was a really big step forward for Scottish football, not just for that tournament.
You know, it was spoken about many, many years ago, but they were saying, you know, when you look at all the big clubs in Scotland, you know, if you got one player or even two or three players going to different schools every week, just for the one day, and the schools in your area, you know, because it's the local players that the young kids will know, you know, play for the local teams, just going and take them for an hour. A wee coaching session just to get their interest up.
I think maybe
even a lot of players that maybe wouldn't want to play football, but because they're coming to the school, I want to be involved in this.
I think it should be part of your license. You qualify as a coach. You know, if a professional player qualifies as a coach as part of his continual professional development, he should have to go back and do 6-10 hours training per season. They have to do some sort of CPD to keep their coaching badge, but that tends to be going to Hamden for a seminar by
school.
So why not get out and about? So, you know, a couple of hours at Highland. I suggested to the SFA, but it's not been taken up. So something I think that the game should look at.
Tweets continuing to come in. Scott Smith says, school football best memories: winning the Scottish Cup with St Peter the Apostle High School with John McGinn. What a team, he says. Brian is in Moss Park. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Art. Just make a quick point about Joe Moore. I remember I went to the Mungo myself, and I remember being a 6 year playing a league decider against All Saints, and I think Joe Moore was drafted in. I think he was only in second or third year. I remember that well.
To help you out.
Yep, it was out. Last we didn't win. But the point of my call is I'm a coach of one of the local primary school football teams, and it's a wee bit archaic, but there's actually a league in Glasgow. It's the Glasgow Catholic Schools Football League. And it's by and large just Catholic primary schools that play in this league, with the exception of a couple of non-denominations. But we actually play
on the deck, says Red Blaze. We call it Red Ash, and we play 11 aside, and we play offside, and what have you. And I think it's, I mean, in a way it's good, in a way it's well, but doesn't it? It sort of teaches kids, I think it's sort of school of hard knocks. It sort of, I think it gives them a great grounding for the actual game, but I think we're possibly should be, basically start on basics. But what to say as well, actually, Lewis secondary last year, S1, who by and large most of the guys that played in that Lewis secondary team won the Scottish Cup, and I'm pretty sure they've done so because the year previous, that primary school, they all played 11-a-sides, whereas most other schools didn't. And so I think it's character building. But I think the other point I'd like to make as well is, I mean, a lot of players at primary schools, by and large, the local clubs or even actual clubs like Celtic, Rangers, Motherwell actually take players on pro youth, and they're not allowing them to play for the school, they're playing the same time on a Saturday as well, and I think that's just a wee bit sort of disconcerting.
Yeah, well, to be fair, Brian, if, in case you missed it, yeah. Paul did address that point. Paul, that was what you were saying, that you can only really speak for your experiences, and that perhaps is something that softened recently, is what you've found. You've got pupils who are allowed to play for Partick Thistle and are allowed to play for your school team, and that has come from the cooperation that you have with Jerry Britton and other
absolutely.
Staff members. And
it's not just Partick Thistle. You know, we've got a young man who will come and play for the school after school, and his dad comes to the game to watch him all the time, and he'll pick him up, and he would go straight out to Hamilton to play for Hamilton. And, you know, that commitment to the game, and that is just phenomenal. You know, and that's not... my impression is that that's certainly something that's definitely easing up. We've certainly not had a problem with it. And so I think that's definitely something that's improving. What I would say is Lourdes definitely had a good season last year, because the S1 team, I believe, won the Glasgow Schools Football Association Cup 2-1 against Our Lady in St Pat's, and then almost won the S1 League as well, so they could have been on for the treble.
Fraser, do you think as well, just a different aspect to it, because I'm sure playing for a club, but an academy, is highly prestigious, and ultimately if you're trying to make a career out of it, you can see why the big appeal comes from there. But I wonder if that different sense you get out of lining up in a school team, along with, you know, your best friends, the guys that you go to school with every single day, that must be nice for kids, and not everyone is trying to make a career out of it.
Yeah, I really hope it hasn't changed much since I played. I mean, I was at Hill Park Secondary in Glasgow, and we weren't the best, but it was a great honour amongst the school. You kind of had a wee, you know, you kind of puff out your chest because you played.
Did your headmaster on the Monday morning when you were standing there, did he ever say, well, on Saturday the under 15s won 2-1 against blah blah blah?
No, and you got a clap because we never won.
We used to go there on a Monday, any of the football teams that played, you went in and well done the under 15s, you got a clap. Under 14s, so it was recognised.
I hope the kids nowadays still have a real pride in doing that, and it's with their friends. You know, I really
absolutely
don't, you know, if you think of the number of young lads who start off at say 11 or 12 years old playing football, whether it's schools or club academy or boys club, only about 2% of them ever make it. I mean, it's a small number, and there's more to football, whether it be boys club football, whether it be amateur football, whether it be schools football. And one of the things I've noticed, my son's just to turn 19, and the drop off in his age group around about 16, they stop playing, and that's because they maybe find out they're not going to make it as a professional football player. Got to keep going. I mean, I've still got friends of mine who I played with at 14 and 15 years old who I still see all the time, you know, still good friends. And there's that social sense, there's that fitness sense, there's that kind of sense of belonging, discipline. Keep playing football.
And school,
schools football has got a huge role to keep young guys and young girls nowadays playing football beyond their school years.
Okay, thanks to Brian in Moss Park. Have you got any on this teaser so far? We're looking for
I've thought of one.
The 10 players since 1996 who've played for both Rangers and Leeds.
Ross McCormick.
Yes, Ross McCormick.
Oh, yes. Kyle Bartley.
Kyle Bartley. Oh, see, Mr. Downey's in, he's showing off.
Well done, Mr. Downey.
I didn't get any the last time I came on.
It's good to have somebody younger than Derek that I can remember.
Two, but I don't think they were there. I'm thinking of Mel Sterling.
Nope.
Rod Wallace.
Yes, Rod Wallace. I'll give you that.
I'm thinking of two of my ex teammates, one of whom I know, David Robertson.
Yes.
Played with him at Rangers. And one I'm not sure, for some reason I think Mark Haley.
Yes, I see. Listen, it was a slow start.
I just remember him in a lead strip.
We got there. So,
wasn't sure.
Mark Haley, David Robertson, Rod Wallace, Ross McCormick, and Kyle Bartley. Five down, five to go. We'll get the answers after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap in. Please gamble responsibly.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're going through memories, experiences, thoughts on schools football. This is day one of our Grassroots Football Week. We did it last year during the winter break, and we seemed to get some good discussion and debate, so we thought, why not give it a go again? I've been asking for your memories and so on. Blue Bears on Twitter, and he says, Nancy Kellogg, whoever that may be, refereeing the primary school game between Canberra and Mosnewk and carrying her handbag around the pitch. Pot. I can't imagine we get scenes like that anymore, do we?
No, I tend to leave my handbag in the car.
Quite right. Quite right, that's what I like to hear. Lots have come in as well. Billy Kerr says, played an under 15 school match away to Stranraer, 2 hours on the bus, arrived, hurricane, lost the toss, they shot downwind and scored 4 goals in 15 minutes. There we are. They're the type of memories we're looking for.
The final score? They would have the wind in the second half.
Yeah, but that doesn't suit his argument, as Hugh Keevans would say. I think he's blaming the wind. John's in Coatbridge. Hi, John.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, not bad.
John?
Thanks for taking my call. Aye, I was staying here on Gordon. At primary school, we had quite a good football team, but we were all a bit of tearaways, so nobody would sort of take the team. And it ended up, it was the headmistress took the team, so she couldn't get... She couldn't come in and give the team talk, that, no?
That's a fair point.
We ended up... We were too far behind in the league that year, but we won 3 cups because we were all quite frightened of the headmistress, you know what I mean? And at the high school, is it the same scenario? A lot of them wouldn't take us because we were a bit of troublemakers and that, and end up, it was the priest took us, and we ended up doing well as well. That was one of the things. It was in Hingley's school, you know what I mean? And Billy McKinley, he played in the same team as us at the high school. No, Badger played in D-United and that, yeah. Blackburn. Aye, so that was my English for the school. That the headmistress, she took the school team because nobody would take us, we were all tearaways, but then we ended up with done well because we were all frightened there.
So there we are. The message from John is get someone that the pupils are frightened of and they'll play better. Paul, is that your management guidebook, or do you go for a slightly different tactic?
Do you know, if there's any pupils listening, they can tweet that one and yeah, they can decide that.
I think every school's got that one teacher that, I'm not saying you didn't like, but he was hard on everybody. I think every school's got that one that you're frightened of. We certainly had one as well, the metalwork teacher. Dear me.
I can see a tweet coming in here as well from Paul Allen, and I like the bit of detail that he adds. He says, I really want to get through on the phone, but I can't because I'm on hold with... popular broadband company because they're ripping me off anyway about school football. He says, my wee boys school hasn't even got a school team. Find it very sad. They wonder how there are no boys and young Scottish talent coming through. Paul, how do you find the relationship with primary schools then? Because I'm sure a big part of, I think, you know, most teachers, but particularly if you're involved in that side, will be to sort of bridge that gap. You know, you have these shows, you I'm not a teacher, I can't think of the right wording, but these sort of days where people come, you know, the 2-day visit it was in my day and so on, and these things where the high school keeps in touch with the feeder primary schools, yep, and so on. Is that a big part of the process as well, it's when you're trying to get footballers involved?
It's an absolutely huge part of the process, and it's something we've been working quite closely with our cluster primary schools in the local area. Over the past couple of years, Jez from Inspire Sports was on earlier on, but over the last couple of years, we've offered sort of similar experiences through Premiership experience, and we've taken our local primary schools down. We took them down to Burnley to see Burnley versus Manchester United, and they got to train at the facilities there. And then we took them down this year to see Manchester City, West Ham, and it allowed us to take, you know, youngsters from all of the local primary schools along with some of our pupils. I got them kicking a ball about down there. I got them a new experience, and it was really fantastic. But this year we're going to build on that again, and on the 24th of March we're planning an Easter fair, which the focal point of that will be a football tournament for the local primary schools, to give them a sort of competitive opportunity to play football and netball as well. And you know, and that will be kind of based around the idea of a fair, and some of our kind of more senior pupils will be coming in and leading the tournament as well, to give them that kind of leadership opportunity, which is so important,
yeah,
as well.
Good.
But what I would say is it's the same in all schools, whether it's primary or secondary school. You know, my wife is a primary teacher, and you know, I know she's on occasion walked onto a football pitch, and it's that enthusiasm and that commitment from staff across all schools to go and give the young people the opportunities that they want. And what I would hope is that if we've done anything over the last couple of years, is that we've shown that the more that you get other people involved, the better those opportunities can be. And that was the basis of the Lisbon Lions tournament, is the basis of what we've done in the school. We were talking off air about even simple things like getting school kit for the youngsters, so getting local companies to sponsor that. The Lisbon Lions tournament, we produced a really professional programme, and huge thanks go to MJD Design and Print, who've done a really great job of it and helped us bring in lots of sponsors, including Clyde One, of course, and who have backed it. And it adds to the whole experience. It really does add to the whole experience of schools football. It makes it special for the youngsters. So, you know, the emphasis, of course, is always on the teachers, but it has to be on the wider community. It has to be on the SFA. It has to be on the PFA. It has to be on everyone to come together and really provide the best opportunities for our young people, because they're the future of the game.
Yeah, Mr. Michael Kenny, hope I've pronounced that properly, says, I coach the Holyrood S1 team. The boys' commitment to the team and their own clubs is tremendous. School football is massively important, should be run to complement academy football rather than being pitched against it. He said, great show tonight, well done, but that's not the only reason I read it out, honestly. We're looking for the 10 players on the teaser to have played for both Rangers and Leeds. I think last time I asked, we had Hatley, Robertson, Wallace, McCormack and Bartley. Mr. Downey's showing you two up. Pick him up.
Sir's got another one.
Tory Andrew Flo.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Any more from you two?
No.
I've got a list just of guesses.
I'll take them.
Michael Ball.
No.
Peter Longkrantz.
No.
Kyle Lafferty.
No. What? They are guesses, aren't they?
Yeah. I think Kyle Lafferty went alone.
What I will say is, you've got the right era for some of them. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I know that. I just can't think of the names.
DeMarcus Beasley.
James Tavernier?
Nope. He was a Leeds player but never appeared for the first team. Okay, I'll give you a clue. One of them, he's sadly no longer with us. So high profile footballing tragedy we had not too long ago. Was an England defender. Scored a very famous acrobatic effort against Celtic for Rangers.
Oh yeah. Hugo Ekiog.
Okay. What else have we got? I'll give you another clue then. Quite a controversial character, not only in his time at
Diouf.
No. Yes, I see. All I had to say was controversial, and you got Milhaj Diouf. That means I've only got two to get, I think. That's not too bad, is it? Nah, I think that's not bad at all. Paul, just before we let you go, Mr. Downey, should I say, so you are, I understand, now on the Glasgow School Football Association committee, or certainly you're going to be. I'm wondering how, because you obviously speak very passionately about schools football, how much are you looking forward to the challenge of improving things as a whole, rather than that old thing of looking after your own team? As I'm sure at all levels of football, there's that temptation there for sort of self-preservation, as you said earlier.
Of course, and I believe the Lisbon Lions tournament was the first step into that. And the Glasgow Schools Football Association, as I said, you know, they've been around since, I think, 1904, and there's a huge long history there. But the focus has to be on the future. It has to be on what happens next. It has to be on making it better. And, you know, there's certainly a lot of enthusiasm there. There are a lot of good ideas. But I do stand by, those ideas need backing. And we've shown that can be done.
You've got to try and take it forward each year, haven't you? You can't stand still.
So,
it's one of these
and, you
things,
know, if there are people listening that believe that they can help and they can get involved, then please, you know, get in touch with the show, get in touch with the Schools Football Association, get in touch with the school. You know, whether it's whatever it is, if whether you've even got a good idea,
pass it along and get
to anybody.
If you're listening to this show, you're obviously passionate about Scottish football, and it has to be everybody together.
Absolutely. Thank you very much to Mr. Downey from Highland Secondary School. Let's try and get the last two answers on the teaser. We need more clues.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. One was a very popular striker for Northern Ireland national team,
David Healy.
And sometimes, I don't mind being completely honest, I will be amazed if you get the last one. Like, completely and utterly amazed. I think he was from Senegal.
Andy Fay,
well done.
I love being amazed.
Done it again,
I have to be honest with you. My mate texts me.
I refuse to believe that because you're not allowed your phone in this studio anyway. Okay, big thank you to Fraser Wishart and Derek Johnson for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And a special thanks to Mr. Paul Downey from Highland Secondary School as well. Hope you enjoyed the first night of our grassroots or youth football week, where we had a close look at schools football, and we're going to continue that all throughout the week So really keen for you guys out there to get involved as well. Tomorrow we're going to look at the grassroots side of it with the Scottish FA and also boys club football as well. So again, all your thoughts, all your experiences, all your memories, get them into us. 01419511025, and we're on Twitter at ClydeSSB as well. I'll be here with Roger Hannah and Gordon Dale.
Good evening, Mr. Benny.
Thank you.
Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.